Hello and welcome once again, everybody. This is the Texas Rangers Spitballing Podcast. I'm Ben Rogers. Now, today I'm not joined by Jamie Newberg. Pinch hitting for Jamie Newberg is our good buddy and a baseball man that you know very well, the great Jared Sandler from the Rangers pre- and post-game show. How you doing, Jared?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, man, thanks for being here. There's so much to get into, obviously, as we approach the trade deadline. Obviously, the Rangers not playing their best baseball right now. And, you know, there's going to be the Rangers are going to be tied into every single rumor that you hear out there. Unfortunately, the market sounds like it's one very unlike last year. It doesn't sound like there's a way to go get a Cole Hamels type player without giving up your top prospects, which is, you know, the Rangers somehow avoided doing that when they acquired Hamels and Diekman last year. This year, it's a little bit costlier, it sounds like. So, hypothetically, if you're the Texas Rangers and you're forced to either give up Gallo or Profar or even both to go get a pitcher who's a number one or a number two, or you're looking at giving up a package like that for a number three, four, or five, you know, if you can't get a front-end pitcher, would you like to see the Rangers trade Gallo or Profar for a number three, four, or five, or just sit pat and not do anything?
Well, you know, first of all, I definitely don't want to trade Gallo and Profar in the same deal for one starting pitcher. I don't mind dealing both of them for two starting pitchers. And as far as the type of pitcher, if I'm trading Gallo or Profar, I'm trading them to get a one or a two. Now, it doesn't have to be a pitcher who slots first or second in the Rangers rotation, but someone who is perceived as a one or a two. Now, because of Hamels and Darvish, that guy might be a three for Texas. But, you know, just because he's a three for Texas doesn't mean he's not of higher quality. So it's a guy that absolutely, without question, unequivocally has to be in the starting rotation for the playoffs. Like, there's no doubt about it. That's the caliber guy that I would trade Gallo or Profar for. And that's not to say that, you know, if you don't want the Rangers to trade those guys, you shouldn't get starting pitching. There's a lot of starting pitching out there that could be had for less than that, and maybe those are the avenues you explore. But if I'm going to trade Gallo, if I'm going to trade Profar, and I have no issue doing either, I've got to get a top-of-the-rotation caliber pitcher.
Would you trade Gallo and Profar in the same deal for Chris Sale?
Yes, yeah, without question. So there are exceptions, and if it was Chris Sale or, you know, in a weird, crazy world where Jose Fernandez became available, let's say in the offseason, because the Marlins have no incentive to sell right now, I would, without any hesitation, trade Gallo and Profar and even Brinson for Chris Sale or Jose Fernandez.
Okay. All right. I like that. So we're on the same page there. But if they find out that, you know, it's, okay, you can go get a Matt Moore, but you're going to have to give up a Gallo or a Profar. Personally, rather than do that, I would just see the Rangers either stand pat and do nothing or do one of those deals you were just talking about where, okay, you're trading guys that aren't necessarily going to hurt you, aren't your best, most coveted prospects, and you're not getting anything that great in return, but you are getting at least somebody who could, you know, be a fourth or fifth guy in the rotation. Are we on the same page there?
Yeah, so I guess a few things that stand out about that. First of all, if you are going to get Matt Moore, I agree. I don't want to trade Gallo or Profar unless that deal also would include Alex Colome or even Xavier Cedeno. Preferably Colome, the all-star reliever for the Rays. And, you know, I really think that while starting pitching is a need for this team, it's more of a regular season need than a postseason need. I think as far as the postseason is concerned, the Rangers need to improve the bullpen. So when you say stand pat, I'm okay with them standing pat as far as the starting pitcher is concerned, or adding simply a depth guy like maybe an Andrew Cashner. But, you know, I think once you roll around to the postseason, a rotation with Darvish and Hamels and whoever you want to fill out, whether it's Perez and Lewis or A.J. Griffin's mixed in there, that's a rotation that's certainly good enough to make a run in October. I don't know that this bullpen is good enough to make a run in October, just with the way people have pitched so far this year. And we're obviously deep into the season where, you know, we're not dealing with small sample sizes. So you look at Kansas City, for example. We always like to look at the mold of the team that won it most recently. Kansas City's starting rotation probably wasn't as talented as this Texas rotation currently is, but the bullpen was outstanding. They were lights out. And in the playoffs, that's huge. And so I'm okay with them not overpaying for a starter before the trade deadline. I'd much rather see them go and add some impact relievers.
You know, as we sit here as armchair GMs and we, along with all the Ranger fans out there, try to figure out what the Rangers should do at this deadline and moving forward with, you know, basically the core of this team, you've got a log jam up the middle with Profar here now. You've got three really good middle infielders and a couple different options. Profar's made it clear that, hey, this year I'll do anything for the team. But moving forward, you know, I'm a shortstop. I wonder if he might bend that a little bit and just hypothetically, I wonder if he might just be willing to be a second baseman. If so, one of the things that we've been talking about is who has more trade value out there? You know, and maybe it depends on the team and what their needs are and what they covet and what they like. But that said, in your mind, who do you think has more trade value out there? 4 years of Rougned Odor control or 3 years of Jerks and Profar control? Who do you think would bring home the biggest prize?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the fact that Rugi's got an extra year might be the deciding factor. I think it, you know, if you ask the 29 other teams in baseball, and let's say 30 teams, let's include the Rangers and how they value those two, you might get 15 to 18 player or 18 teams saying one thing and, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15 teams saying another thing. I imagine it's somewhat split. And while there's more known with Rugi, there's also more known with Rugi. And that works both positively and negatively. Whereas with Jerks and Profar, I think there's still that sense of wonderment of what he can become. And not that Rugi is now what he's always going to be. I think there's this sense that he's absolutely going to improve. And a lot of people believe he can improve into a star. But I think that extra year probably is the deciding factor. And at a minimum, with Rougned Odor, you know that you've got a 20 to 25 home run a year hitter. And that's significant. Whereas with Jerks and Profar, we think we know that we've got a really disciplined hitter, a guy that's going to have a high on base, but we don't know that for sure because he's never really done it for a full season. And we don't know, you know, what his health status is going to be too. You know, it's been great that he's been healthy for the last however many months, but I don't think you can totally forget that he's missed the last 2 years. So I wonder if that sort of hangs over people when they consider Rugi versus Jerks and Profar. But I'll tell you that with Jerks and Profar's time up here, it certainly is more of a question today than it was even a month ago after he had made his return to the Rangers and had turned some heads. Because Jerks and Profar's defensive versatility is also something that I think works for him. And frankly, with the thoughts and, you know, his desire to play shortstop next year, I just don't get as a player. I feel like guys like Ben Zobrist and Josh Harrison have made it cool to be versatile and a willingness to be used in that manner. And I think that's a tool that Jerks and Profar has that very few players truly have. And I know maybe the old school thought was it hurts you to not be one position. And I get that shortstop is a more lucrative position than second or third or first or anything else. But you know, I think that if Jeff Banister has Jerks and Profar in the organization next year on opening day and he pencils in Jerks and Profar as a left fielder, I don't think Jerks and Profar is going to complain. I think it's nice to say now, but when push comes to shove, I think he's going to be willing to play wherever it is that his manager pencils him in.
Man, that's a tough one. You know, I've talked to Michael Young about this exact topic and you know, how that it impacted his career. And, you know, he gives a different perspective, obviously. And I think if you were to sit down with Michael Young, he might express some regret over changing positions because, you know, he was an elite second baseman and he did it for the team. He moved to short. Then they're like, hey, we need to move you to third. And now he's playing a position that is, you know, outside of his comfort zone where he was incredibly comfort and secure and one of the best in the game at second base, his original position. And I think at some point these guys have to look out for their careers as well. You know, and it can't, I mean, as fans, we want them to be team centric and I want to live in the Metroplex and I'll play for the minimum and I'll do that, you know, and like, but the reality is they do have these careers and their own hopes and aspirations and dreams. And I, you know, Jerks and Profar is a legitimate shortstop and he's comfortable there. I don't have any problem with him saying, hey, guys, I'll play outfield, I'll do it, but I don't want to be a 23-year-old journeyman career Swiss Army knife. I don't want to play a different position every night. That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, and I have zero issue with the fact that he wants to be a shortstop. As a matter of fact, I want every player to have that sort of conviction about where they belong and what they want in their career. You know, whether it's a guy like Jerks and Profar who clearly has the talent to be that guy or, you know, use the word journeyman, like a true journeyman, a guy who spent his career going up and down between AAA and the majors. I want that guy in between the ears to think, man, I should be in everyday fill-in-the-blank position. I guess the one thing I'd say about Profar versus Michael Young and the difference is that Michael Young was already a little more established than Jurickson Profar was when he was asked to move off of second. You know, I think he was already an all-star second baseman, whereas Jurickson Profar, I think we are confident can become that. He just doesn't have as many skins on the wall as Michael Young did at that point. But point taken, I absolutely think that players still want to play one position, and I don't fault them for wanting that. And I guess it's different if your primary position is second base versus shortstop, because I think in general the same shortstop will get paid more than the same second baseman. And obviously with Scott Boras as his agent, he's absolutely looking out for his client's best individual interests. And it shouldn't come as a surprise that anyone who's got the ability to be an everyday shortstop for financial reasons would want to stick as an everyday shortstop.
He's Jared Sandler filling in for Jamie Newberg on the Spitballing podcast. I'm Ben Rogers. Other news came down this week for the Rangers. You know, obviously, Prince Fielder going on the DL, probably done for the year. And we don't know that for sure, but it sounds like that's going to be the case. And, if he ends up having another surgery, then you're looking at two in the last couple years. It's impossible not to look at that and just wonder, you know, might this guy say, you know what? I'm not going to rehab this. My money's guaranteed. I don't know how this is going to affect my life moving forward. You know, he could hypothetically retire. I don't know that. Nobody's told me that. I'm just guessing. I'm just looking at this situation. He very well could go out and have surgery and go rehab and come back. But this sounds a little bit degenerative, like it's going to continue happening. Hardly a doctor, a C student at best. So I'll just throw that out there. But do you have a feel for that? Is it way too early? Do you have any idea or any thoughts on what Prince Fielder is going to do? Do you think this is a guy who's going to immediately, decide to have the surgery, rehab, and come back? Or is this a guy who might really look at himself in the mirror and wonder if this is the end?
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough to predict. I guess what I'll say is this. We know that he loves his kids. We know that he loves being a family man. And I think that if the doctor said that surgery and then trying to play again could risk his ability to do, your basic dad things with Haven and Jaden, his two kids, I think that could be a deal breaker. But, what we also know is this is a guy that spent the entire year trying to play through injury. He spent the first part of 2014 trying to play through injury and probably the last part of his Tigers career trying to play through injury. This is a guy that I think at one point, if I'm not mistaken, had the longest active consecutive games played streak. And I don't think he missed a game in five or so years. So this is a guy that loves to play. He loves to be in the lineup, takes a lot of pride in that. And this is not a guy that I think has taken the easy way out. Some players have the reputation of, if they have a broken fingernail, then, they're not sure if they want to play. That's not Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder has played through probably more pain than you and I can imagine. So my guess is unless they tell him that coming back risks, further debilitating himself and impacting his ability as a father, that he's going to give this one more shot. But again, I don't know. I don't know what the consultation with Dr. Dossett's going to produce. And as far as information, that's going to take place on Monday. So not sure. My guess is Prince doesn't just hang it up. I think he tries to give it a go. Now, whether he sees that through and is able to actually return to a major league field, I don't know. But my guess is he does give this another go.
Jared, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for pinch hitting on the podcast today. Absolutely love your work. Fantastic human being as well. Thanks for the insight. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure.
All right, there he goes. Jared Sandler, appreciate him filling in for Jamie Newberg. This has been the Spitballing Podcast. Please share it with your friends. Please enjoy it. Please get it out there on social media. We love all that. Until next time, happy baseball, everybody.